Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
There was a part of me, even though he had worked on my ability to forgive, to love, there was still this part of me that was still healing. The part of, you know, not growing up with your father, there's a lot of like rejection, yeah, and things that you're dealing with. Yeah. And so even though I had the love of God, the Father, I was waiting for him to show up like humans in some way. Mm. And it was in that moment I said, you know what? I don't know what this ride looks like, but I surrender.
Welcome to a new episode of Healed Girl Era Podcast with me, Gia Peppers. I'm a journalist and on-air talent, and I've been doing this for several years, but I love this space because we get to talk about the different modes of healing and the different eras we've all been through in our lives so that no one heals alone. I have a very special guest with me who's very much in her author era. I'm welcoming Stephanie Ike Okafor, the pastor, the speaker, the evangelist, mother, wife, and all around amazing human being. You may see her viral sermons at One LA, but this time around, we are talking about her journey to this book, The Power of Your Dreams. It's her newest book that is sure to change the way you think about and reflect on your own dreams and what God may be trying to say to you through them. Let's get into this episode that takes us through the eras and some amazing angel encounters that will blow you away. Healed Girl Era, the podcast starts now. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Healed Girl Era, the podcast. I'm Gia Peppers, and I am so honored today to have one of my sisters,
yeah,
in Christ, amen, but one of the most prolific pastors of our time, one, yeah, of the most intelligent, I mean, Bible-based teachers that we've seen in such a long time. She is a pastor, the executive pastor at One Church LA. She is literally about to be a New York Times bestselling author.
Amen.
Mom, wife. But please help me welcome the incomparable Stephanie Ike Okafor.
Thank you. You better, G. I was like, oh my gosh.
You did do that. I didn't even say businesswoman, podcast host, co-founder of the same room. I was going to leave that alone.
That's beautiful. I love this.
How are you?
I'm doing good, babe.
This is amazing.
It is.
Like, we're finally here. We're going to go through many eras. Yeah. Because the intention of this show is to really help anybody who's going, mm-hmm, through their own version of a healing journey,
yeah,
no matter where they are through any era of their lives. The, yeah, point is, like, people watch this and know I'm not alone in my healing.
That's,
I can,
right,
make it through. And if she got through the same thing, then, ooh, look, I can do it and I can thrive on the,
yeah,
other side. And so that's
right,
the intention of this space.
Yeah.
But before we get into our convo, let's start with a word of prayer.
I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Stephanie. Thank you so much for the resources to be here today. Thank you, God, for this opportunity that the timing aligned. Thank you, God, for the gift that you put in this book, in this message, in this human being. Thank you, God, for the gifts that you have given us. Let them rise today. Let this be an amazing conversation that will help not only us be present in this moment and present with the life you've given us, but for the viewer, for the listener, for anyone on the other side of this microphone to feel less alone in any chapter, in any era, to know that they can make it through. God, use us, anoint our voices, anoint this moment for what you need it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. First of all, we are now, I guess, a couple years into our friendship, but we have never sat down before.
No.
And I'm so excited to.
I know. That's why I was like, this is good.
This is good. Like,
people are, they're going to come into
they're gonna come, y'all world. In our first
We just
real
have cameras, that's all.
Girl talk moment. And so I want to know, when you think of who you are now, who is Stephanie Ike Okafor? Tell me about who she is right now.
Man, you know, that is a question. Anytime I travel to speak and maybe want to sit down a panel, they're like, introduce yourself, right? And it's such a hard question for me from like a wide view. I think for me on a micro level rather, I'm really just like a daughter. I think that defines me the best, to be honest. Growing up, like God really raised me. And my life, like the truth of my life, is really to serve his will. That's the, anything, if anything will pull me out of that, I don't want it. And so if I were to truly define myself, I would really say like, I'm a daughter of God.
Yeah, that is beautiful. And it's evident in how you walk. It's evident in your posture and how you serve him. And being able to watch you for a long time has been beautiful. Like the journey I've seen you enter into, again, from far, far away, always hugs, always love, always beautiful energy, has been just amazing to watch. And now we're here at the Power of Your Dreams, a guide to hearing and understanding how God speaks while you sleep. This is the book. We are going to get into all that because I want to know all that. But first, we got to start with the areas.
I know. Let's go on the ride.
To baby Stephanie.
Yes.
Whoo, now, child. Baby Stephanie, where were you born? And what do you remember most about, we're talking like baby, like five and under age.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that time, who you were, what you wanted, and like just that those early years of your childhood?
So I was born in Lagos, Nigeria.
Beautiful.
Baby Stephanie was angry. Yeah. Baby Stephanie, my father was murdered when I was 8 months old.
Oh, I'm so
sorry. In Nigeria, I think there was only one other person, and I knew that person in my teenage years, who grew up in a single parent home. It's very rare. And so for me, it's like, okay, so where's my dad?
Yeah.
And there's no other person that I can reference to that is having this experience with me. And knowing as a kid that my father was murdered, and also having an understanding of, you know, my father's family, there were some of the family members that were very toxic, very evil, just to say the truth. And they were after my mom for everything my dad had. Wow. And so it was just a very chaotic. I had memories of when, you know, there will be assassins sent to the home, you know, to threaten us and things like that. It was crazy.
Wow.
So as a kid, I was very angry. And I was angry because my mom was such a steadfast Christian, a believer, every night where she's asking us to join her in prayer. And I'm like, if this God is so great and awesome, like, where was he? You know? And yeah, I definitely, I was seeking revenge.
Yeah.
On my own terms.
You was like, where are the people?
That was baby Stephanie. I was meditating and pondering revenge.
But that's so real. Like, I understand that anger as a child. My mom actually just dropped in the group chat a photo that came up of me as, let me show you, as a little baby. And I'm sitting with my brother and sister, and I am legit upset.
you're like, why? They are cheesing. And you're just like, get me out of here now.
We'll fight anyone. And I remember that girl. Like, I know her well.
Yeah.
She felt overlooked. She felt like, these kids are a lot. I did not ask for siblings.
And it has become.
Oh, so you were the one when your mom got pregnant, you got angry.
I was like, I said both times, you can take them back. I said,
thank you so much. They have been great.
Oh, that's funny.
Beautiful friends. Yeah. You could give them back to their parents.
Wherever they came from.
Wherever they came from, both times. And I remember feeling angry and dismissed, and mm-hmm. also, you know, our parents do the best with what they have and what they know. Yeah. Like, my parents are both the oldest. Yeah. And so I think they just raised me in the way that they were raised. Like, these kids are your responsibility no yeah. matter what. And you're like, I don't even know these kids. Mm-hmm. I'm a kid. Like, let me, I just met them right. yesterday. Like, what you mean all of a sudden?
Stranger.
Stranger danger. Stranger danger. Like, what are you talking about? So you telling me I'm gonna get in trouble because of what they do? I'm right. gonna get, like, and it really, really was something I had to work through and still, you know, actively have to meet that little girl when she, yeah. when she's triggered. Like, how do you, does little Stephanie still pop out sometimes, and how do you guide her through what big Stephanie has yeah. been able to accomplish?
You know, that's such a great question. I have had moments where I've seen her, but I haven't seen her in a long time, to be
that's
honest.
Great.
I haven't seen her in a while. I think the last time where I was just like, ooh, that anger needs to, you mm-hmm. know, calm down. There was a friend of mine, and we were not, like, very close, but there was something I saw recently that Oprah mentioned, how you can never be friends with someone who's jealous of you.
Oprah D. Sidey.
And that was just, like, mic drop.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, I'm never the one to assume or think. In my mind, I'm like, okay, like, let me not smell myself yeah. type of thing, right? But other people had made it known to me, and I'm just like, nah, yeah. it's not that. Uh-huh. It's, you know, it's not X, Y, and Z. And then there was a situation where it just showed up, mm. and it showed up big time. Mm. And she's just saying all these things, and I'm like, wait, do you don't like me because of what, like, my life, like, it was so weird mm. to me. But in the midst of that, there was a lot of just behind the back mm. gossip and lies and backstabbing, and I was heated,
yeah.
you know, and I had not felt that type of anger in a minute, because the anger I had as a kid, it was an anger to do something mm. and I think because I wasn't allowing myself to experience the hurt, because you're a kid and you don't know how to process those emotions. Nope. And I think that's also why the enemy tries to attack, you know, attack us a lot in that childhood stage, because you're not emotionally intelligent. And so you're left with this familiar emotion that you want to cling to. Mm. So rather than me addressing I'm hurt, it's like, no, what I'm familiar with is anger. Mm. And so when that happened, I mean, all kind of thoughts were running through my mind of all the things I could do to mm-mm. this person.
She came back with a plan. Like, well, quick. Actually, 70.
I said, it was like, it felt like a flash. I had wow. to, like literally, I'm like, okay, Stephanie, Lord, please forgive me. Because you know when, it's different when, this was so terrible. But it's different when you can threaten someone mm. and when you can make good on that promise.
Well,
huh. And I said, you know, I love the Lord. I submit to Jesus. But if you try me, I know a phone call to make.
Hello. Hello. It's, you
and
said try
that
Jesus.
In that moment, I went to, it's like, it was like a flash. I was like, all right.
Stay there for a couple seconds. Just walk.
And then, like, almost immediately, I just felt the Holy Spirit mm. saying, watch yourself. Mm. And I didn't realize how quick that happened. And I just brought it before God. I'm like, God, I haven't experienced this in a long time, that I didn't even think it was there. Mm. But our human nature would always need the cross.
Yeah.
And so in that moment, I was like, you know what, Lord, forgive me for even what I was thinking. Mm. And I forgive this person. I'm going to let it go. And what I did, I just started praying blessings for her. Mm. Even when I didn't feel it, until I felt it, mm. I kept doing it.
Mm.
You know, because she showed up. She showed up quick.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, there's so much we could even talk through on friendship trauma alone. And
yeah.
We going to need to come back on it. You know, maybe we'll do, me, you, and maybe some of our friends will talk about right. just friendship trauma. Because I think we don't really address it enough,
no.
how those are deeper heartbreaks.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different. It's so we're going to come back and talk about that because I totally believe that that's a whole different episode. Mm-hmm. We can't even get into that today. But I am I'm grateful that you're sharing that because so many of us feel like we always have to be the version of us that we knew at any point in our lives, that we can never grow through anything or come through anything. And to see this version of you that like doesn't represent anger and doesn't even like allow it to like be the defining character of her life now.
Yeah.
Like coming through that from that child who had been through so much trauma, so much heartbreak initially, to have a full life that is not only heart space full, like you legit teach people how to use their hearts again and love God with their whole hearts. Like that's
a miracle. It's really, God really like did it was a miracle.
Yeah.
That's the best word.
What do you think was, you know, even through your teenage years, those times are so formative. And I read in your book that you used to literally intensely hear God talk to you as a teenager.
Yeah.
Was that when that anger started to subside? Take me through like when that started to change for you.
So at 9, I remember my mom was looking for this document. Mm-hmm. Like she was searching for something that she really needed because we were going through a lot at the time from a financial standpoint and she was trying to find this thing. And so we're searching the house. We couldn't find it. Yeah. And I was just angry. I'm like, look, here we go. Yeah. If my dad was alive, you know, this would not be the case.
Speak.
And I remember that it was nighttime. My mom had gone to bed and I go to my room and I feel this presence in my room and it's a strong presence.
Wow.
Like I didn't see anyone, but I knew there, it was just like, okay, this someone is standing here. Even if I don't see you, I can feel you.
Wow.
And it was always interesting because I wasn't scared, but I think the knowledge of like scary movies and like the boogeyman, I said, okay, whatever this is, I want no parts
Hello.
Of it.
You know? Stay where you are.
So then I go to my mom's room and she's like, you know, what are you doing here? And I'm like, no, I just want to come. Like, I just want to sleep in your bed. She's like, okay. So I jump in her bed. The moment I get in her bed, my mom is out cold, like not responding, nothing. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? I feel the same presence in the room. And so I panic a little bit. So I like cover, you know, I get under the covers.
Yeah.
So with my eyes closed, I see this person sitting where there's no chair and their whole makeup is light. And so I'm like, okay, this can, I thought it was God.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, God. And I don't even know where this prayer came from. I was just like, God, if this is of you, cause wind to flow through my ankles. And when I tell you, like, immediately, there was this gush of wind that just, like, literally went through me. So I'm like, okay, if this is the God my mom talks about, I mean, he has to be, he can't harm me. I'm sure he's great, you know, in some way.
She talks to him every day.
Right, she talks about him all the time. And I'm like, okay. So then I, like, come under the covers with my eyes open, I still see him. And he stands up. Walks to my mom, like his whole essence, like has like the stature of a human, but his whole essence is light. Literally like light, like radiating light. Wow. So I'm like, then I start asking all these questions. I'm like, so where were you when my dad was murdered? And he starts talking to me, but it's a language I don't understand. It's his voice was literally like thunder and echo and it was crazy. And so then I'm like, just like God, when I get to talk to you, you don't know I don't speak this language. Like I speak English, okay?
Right.
Like it was a whole thing. And he walks over to my mom, opens her hand, puts this paper in her hand, closes it. So right when he like disappears, my mom wakes up and I'm like, oh my gosh, mom, like I met God. You know, she's like, Stephanie, what are you talking about? I said, no, like, check your hand. But there was nothing in her hand. And so I'm confused. I'm like, no, like, so I'm telling her the whole experience. She's like, but she's thinking like, Stephanie, you did not meet God.
Right.
Okay, like, what is going on here? So she's like, go back to bed. I am just hype. You know, I'm like, what was that? Like, who was that? So in the morning, her pastor calls her. And he's calling her thinking he's just trying to encourage her. And he's like, you know what? While he was in prayer, that the Holy Spirit told him to call my mom and tell her that there was an angelic encounter in her home last night. And he's like, you know what? God is this favor. And I'm like, no. There was, no, I said, no. It was literally here. Not just, it was passing through.
Olan, Stephanie. Olan, my girl. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Wait, okay, keep going. I'm not going to stop you.
It was wild. So then I'm like, I knew it. I met God.
And your mom believed him.
And then, so my mom was like an angelic encounter. And so my mom was like, wait, my daughter was saying something about, you know, something that she, like her experience, yeah, was sharing with him. And he was like, he couldn't confirm that. He just said, I just know that this is what the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. So immediately I'm like, oh, I knew it. I said, God, where are you? Wow. I know I met you. Wow. And then I started hearing his voice.
Wow.
And then he started speaking. And the thing was that as a kid, because I'm a kid, I don't have the adult intelligence to question the moment. So it was, right, my advantage.
Yeah.
So then immediately I could differentiate the thought, the voice that came as another thought, mm, than what was my thought.
Mm.
And then he tells me, he was like, that was not me. That was an angel. And starts telling me who angels were and what angels do. And I'm like, oh, so that was not you? And he's just telling me all this stuff. And then that day, my mom randomly finds the paper. So imagine we search the whole house. Then we come and sit down like this, and the paper just shows up on the table. We randomly find it. And I'm like, Mom, it was an angel, but the angel is the one who helped us, whoa, get this paper. And so, wow, right after that, I started hearing the voice of God. I started having dreams. And so one of the most consistent places was like, he would encounter me in dreams. Mm. He taught me, and that was what started changing, because the first thing he dealt with was my heart. And he started teaching me about love, started teaching me about forgiveness, and literally bringing me into the understanding of why people hurt people.
Mm.
And it changed me. It gave me a new heart. I went from being this person who was so angry to a person who I could give like the shirt off my back to a stranger.
Mm.
There was just like a love that just filled my heart for people, that filled my heart to see people be who God called them to be. And yeah, that was like literally the turning point.
What a story. Your movie, yeah, on your life.
It's going to be wild.
For that scene, girl.
It's going to be wild.
That is going to be everything. Wow, Stephanie. Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, so many questions. Okay. So the angel,
mm-hmm,
okay. Did you ever know like who it, what type of angel, or it just was like your angel, like a angel?
So funny enough, I've had several encounters after that, yeah, with angels.
Yeah.
That particular one, I have never, I've never seen him again.
Yes.
He might still be around,
right,
but I've never seen him again. I've seen other angels that, like, because they're angels that walk with us.
Yes.
They're angels assigned to you. The moment you show up on this earth, there's an angel assigned to you. When you step into the call of God on your life, there's another type of angel assigned to you for that call. Because angels, they are messengers of God, and they're called to help us in the things that God has assigned us to do.
Mm.
So they listen to the voice of God, not us. And so when we are in alignment with God in any aspect of our lives, there are angels that are assigned to, you know, push things further along.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So there are angels that are assigned to you when you know that, okay, man, this podcast that I'm doing, the Lord gave me this instruction, or I know that I'm in alignment with God's will. There are angels assigned to that will cause where there are people that you would just think about randomly. And it's like,
no, it's,
yeah,
so
it's like,
scary.
Oh, it's, we should have this person on the podcast. What you don't realize is because angels don't communicate with, they don't talk.
Mm.
It's spirit to spirit.
Wow.
And so so there are things that come to you like a thought, but it's them communicating to you. And so they're always, it's such a beautiful, the spiritual realm is so beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. We only 10 minutes in. I'm already like, hallelujah. Okay. I'm mind blown right now. I'm processing in mind blown. Because I've never heard anybody who's actually had an encounter,
yeah,
with an angel. This is my first time. I'm literally feel like I'm watching a documentary. Like, first 48. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, she was sitting with an angel. Like, this is great. Okay. So that is amazing.
Yeah.
People usually, you're the only person I've ever encountered that has ever met an angel before.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell this story to people, like, do you feel like sometimes you're like, Lord, like, I don't know what these people are going to think. Like, what does it feel like to tell that story?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, that is a very rare occurrence. And
yeah,
I believe you because I know, yeah, you not to be a liar.
Now, growing up, I think there were things I didn't tell my mom for the longest.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this would this almost will feel crazy.
Right.
I'm like, would she like, because there were other things, but there are things that she started to understand because the, like, God would just talk to me about things before they happened, and it brought protection. Wow. There were people who tried to take us out, and literally the Lord would reveal, this person is good. I remember one time there was a lady who was bringing oranges. Literally, and he showed me, he said, this lady, he showed me the lady. She was going to bring oranges to the house. The oranges are poisoned, but don't even worry about it because I've already cleansed it. And it was just very specific details. So I tell my mom that day, she comes to the house. She calls. She's like, hey, I'm outside. I said, Mom, watch it. So she comes in and she brings these oranges. And she's like, I was at the market and I just thought about you guys and I brought oranges. And so my mom was like, oh, thank you. She's like, oh, you should try one. And so then I come out, say, Auntie, why don't you try one? She did not. I said, Auntie, we should all have some together. Why don't you try one? And she gets back home and we call everyone Auntie. And she would not touch it. And then all of a sudden something comes up and she had to leave the house. I said, Mom, even though the Lord said he cleansed these things, we throw it away.
Out, baby. Okay. Just in case. It might be cleansed for you. For me, and then the wrong person eat it.
We don't. But that is just like a snippet of just a lot of things. So my mom knew. She was like, okay, like my daughter just has these encounters. But as I got older, I thank God there were certain people that got placed in my life that made it almost like normal. And so there are people that would, like, friends I would meet, and they would share similar experiences they had. And so even like just throughout like my years, because I remember as a teenager I started questioning many things. I'm like, God, like, people don't really have these type of stories. Like, what is going on? Do you talk this much? Like, I just started questioning a lot. And I remember I was at a youth camp with the church that I was going to at the time. And there was this prophet, he's late now, an incredible man of God. Mm. And I remember when he literally singles me out and he was like, you have been questioning God if he talks to you that much. And he's saying that he is with you. He has been your dad. Told me the age. Like, he was so specific. Whoa. And he started sharing similar encounters that he's had. Mm. And I've seen that, like, there are almost every, like, major moment in my life, there are people that God would place in my life that we just, it was like, oh, I understood it. And then I remember one of my best friends, Brenda.
And Big Brenda.
Listen.
Palma.
I love her, man. But I remember, and I was telling her, because we were having, when we first met, and, you know, she was just like, yo, your stories are crazy. I said, and I was like, no, it's available for everyone.
Wow.
If you open up to it.
Wow.
And I'm like, it's not something, there's no, how do you open up to it? No, just tell the Holy Spirit, like, Lord, if there's anything you want to show me. I said, the problem is that we are scared of the supernatural. And so fear shuts the door. Mm. And I'm like, but if you just say, you know what, Lord, like, hey, whatever you want to show me. You don't do things searching it out. No, the Holy Spirit brings you into the experience for the Christians, right? Mm. And I remember one time she literally called me. She was like, Stephanie, something was about to happen in my home. And I panicked and I heard, like, she was like, I heard in the spirit a door slam shut. Because she got scared. Mm. And I was like, well, that's okay. Mm. But God is showing you
that
it's there, but you just have to, you have to get on the other side of fear. And there was a time where she literally leaves, she goes away for a bit, comes home and finds these handprints on her mirror. And it's the right hand twice. And there's a hole in the.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BADLANDS ranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
And those handprints, when I tell you those handprints stayed on that mirror for weeks, turned into months. It did not go away. And when we looked at it, I said, Brenda, I would not be shocked if Jesus was in your home and just decided to leave his handprint, because you can't manufacture that. And she still has the photos. It's literally like handprints, but in the middle there's a hole. Wow. And the one thing Jesus left was that. That didn't change even when he resurrected. He left that.
Jesus Christ.
So it's available to, there's no one that's more special or more anything. No, right. More. It's not, the biggest flex of a Christian is that you have the Holy Spirit. Mm. It's not what you see or the, it's you have God in you. Mm. Everything else comes as an experience that God allows you if there is a need for it and if you're open to it.
Wow. Okay. I was not ready for this. And I love it, because that's why, like, when I want to do these conversations, I'm like, there are so many ways to heal.
Yeah.
Some people are believers, some people are not. Yeah. I'm a believer, so we start with prayer here. We ask God to lead, and he brings these amazing moments out. And I'm so grateful for them, because I'm sure there's some people that are watching like, now, I didn't have that experience yet, but I did have,
exactly.
I think people up all the time, and I did it, like, all those different things.
And it's all God.
Yeah.
It's like, because there are different ways. I will tell you this story, because even as we're talking about healing, because the truth is, for me, I healed through my relationship with God.
Yeah.
He just brought me into an understand. And the beauty is that those teachings are things you can share with others, mm-hmm. right? There's some things, like I've learned that, for example, you know, for Christians, when you read the Bible, there are answers in the Bible that if you were to ask God about, he may not answer you because he already answered it in the Bible.
Mm.
And in the same way, that's why our testimonies as Christians are so powerful, because it's God's way of bringing his words to that community, onto the earth, into our sphere of influence. Because there's some things that it's just like someone asking God about something he says is a sin, right? Mm. And you're like, Lord, please just show me if I'm the exception.
Mm.
He ain't gonna answer you, because you already know. So there are things that he will not answer you because he answered through something else that you've already been exposed to, right? And so I think that's the beauty of when we have testimonies. It doesn't mean that it needs to be replicated, but it's to know that, man, God is powerful,
yes.
and he's unlimited. How he could show up in another person's life is completely different, but how he works is just incredible. Because I remember I had this encounter. And this just goes to show that you don't have to see an angel. You don't have to have this wild thing for you to know that God is speaking to you. God is behind that thought, that idea, that vision that you have. You know, you can call that person, like the Holy Spirit is behind that. So I have this encounter. This was like years back. And this was one of the wildest things I've ever experienced. And so
wilder than an angel?
Oh, no, this was wild.
Come
this
on,
was
Stephanie,
wild.
Take us there.
Listen.
Where were we? What were we doing?
I was in my bedroom.
I love this.
And my friend was around. So we're like sitting in the bed and we're just chilling. We're talking.
Yeah.
And literally, my this sounds so crazy, bro.
I love it.
But literally, my spirit leaves my body, right? But in my body, I'm having a conversation with you.
Hello.
No, I've experienced a lot of crazy things spiritually, but.
So your spirit was watching you have the.
No, so my spirit leaves.
Okay.
In my body, I'm still talking to you.
Okay.
Like I'm still talking with my friend.
Yeah.
But I'm aware of what's happening here, and I'm aware of what's happening with my spirit. So even in the Bible, there was a moment where there's a prophet and his servant. He sends his servant to do something. The servant does something else. And he tells the servant, was not my spirit with you?
Mm.
So he was calling him out, like, I know you lied because my spirit was with you. So there are biblical foundations for this.
Wow.
But literally, my spirit leaves my body and it just goes. And all I remember in that moment is being in what felt like the galaxy and going beyond that.
Mm.
And then I find myself in this space. So I find myself where I was like in some place in heaven. And wow. there was this like round table and they called it the seat of influence. Wow. And there were people being removed from the table. It was like a change of the guard happening. There were people being removed and there were new people coming on. Wow. And so there's one particular person I recognize. And, you know, at the time, this person was like heavy, heavy in music. And I recognize this person. And so everybody's all there. They're sitting down. And then there's like these angels who have brought word from the Lord concerning what is to come.
Okay.
So they're talking about this lady. So they start with her and they're talking about her. And they were like, right now, there's going to be a business that she's going to step into, right? They say the name of the business. And they said when she steps into it, it's going to be explosive. They're going to cause it. It's going to be so lucrative that she will not have need to depend on the other industry, because that is going to that industry is almost like keeping her in a prison, right? But when she steps into this and the way God is going to cause it to be successful, then on that platform, then she will begin to proclaim the gospel.
Whoa.
And they talked about how she has the call of an evangelist.
Whoa.
And that the Lord is going to literally take his time with her, but he's going to release her as an evangelist, as, you know, on the rise of this new business, God. You know, thing being, you know, just going crazy. Because basically it's like she'll be so rich that she doesn't need to bow to anybody anymore. Mm. It's like all those restrictions will be broken off of her, where she's like, you know what? I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But that's how God wanted to deal with her. Wow. So they say the name of this. They talk about everything. Then after everything is done on that table, boom, I'm back in my body. But I'm aware of both things. And I'm like, whoa, what just happened? So I was sharing with my brother later on, because I was like, I need a moment to process.
Child, if you do, listen, okay.
I was like, God, what was that? And he started showing me. It was just things that he started talking to me about, how nothing happens on earth.
Mm.
Nothing major happens on earth without it being decided from a spiritual perspective. Ooh. And how earth only mirrors what is spiritual, right? And so I tell my brother this whole experience, and I was like, bro, you know, she's about to do this and da 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 da. It took years before this happened. Years later, this person starts, you know, their thing and calls it that name.
Mm.
And I said, am I in a Twilight Zone? Like, what is happening? And the business went crazy. It just, I said, we haven't seen a song right now. And you might know who I'm talking about. But here's the crazy thing.
I love her. Yeah. Okay, we love you. If you don't know who's talking about that right now, I don't know what to tell you.
But here's
just
the crazy
thing. We still waiting
listen,
on music.
We waiting for the songs, okay? Now, I don't think she ever had a supernatural experience.
Yeah.
It may have come to her like a thought.
Mm.
It may have come to her like a great idea. Mm. But behind the scenes, the Lord is at work. And she's someone who I'm praying for, because I'm like, oh, what God wants to do with you, you may not even know yet.
Whoa.
But behind the scenes, God is like, no, my hand is on her.
Ooh.
And I've called her, I've marked her, and she's going to be an evangelist on the earth.
Wow.
And so why I'm sharing this is that there are times where we have to allow like our intelligence to sometimes get out the way and recognize maybe I'm not too smart to have this idea.
Mm.
And maybe like it's the Lord who is placing this so heavy on my heart. Maybe it's the Lord who is opening these doors of favor for me that I can't even understand.
Wow.
And there's something beautiful about that, because it brings you into what we, you know, the Bible talks about how all things work together for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And there are times that where we experience brokenness and pain and, you know, what could feel like trauma, when you come into that place of alignment with God, alignment is where everything works together.
Mm.
You see it. You see how, oh my gosh, this heartbreak that randomly led me to this idea, this thing, where God was working all of this like together. And that brings us to a place where we can authentically feel whole. Wow. Authentically. Not we're trying to. We can see like, man, this thing that was supposed to harm me, it opened the door for the next thing and the next thing. But could it be that God, not that God was allowing it to happen, but he knew how to orchestrate things to work out for my good in the end?
So this is amazing. Child, like I love this conversation because it's challenging me to literally do what you're saying, like remove logic, remove all the things, and have faith to see. Yeah. Like this is what he means by faith to see. Like what you cannot see, like what you don't really understand is working for your good.
But I was like, I was just reading my Bible reading plan. Cause I was like, you know, I started from Genesis all over again. And I was reading on about Joseph's life again, just this morning. And I was just like, man, you know, because when Joseph was sold into slavery, like literally he, you know, we skimmed through that part so quickly, right? You know, he has his brothers.
Yeah.
His brothers are jealous of him because of how much the father loves him. You know, they sell him into slavery.
Yeah.
But in slavery, you know, he goes through his own trials and all of those things. And then, you know, he ends up being second in command. Mm-hmm. Now he's in charge in a foreign land. But the part that hit me was when there's a famine in the land. His brothers come to buy from him. They don't even recognize him. And then, you know, they're going through their moments of like, because Joseph sets them up. People got to read. Y'all got to read this story. I'm giving you a Stephanie version of it. Listen.
Y'all better go in the
Y'all got to go in the book of Genesis. Okay?
Yes.
But literally, like, there's this moment where they start, like, they're speaking to one another about what they did to Joseph, not knowing he's Joseph.
Wow.
And the part that got me is that when they said, when he was in the pit, and he was crying out to us in anguish, in a bitterness of soul. So Joseph, part of his journey was when he was sold into slavery, he went through it. You could say he was depressed.
Mm.
It's easy to understand, like, man, this guy was like, my brothers just betrayed me.
My brothers
sold me into slavery. I may never see my father again. I may never see my younger brother who is just my world. And so the dynamic of what he's dealing with, and then all of a sudden, it's like, wait, but God, you use all of that to bring me here. So it was easy for Joseph to forgive his brothers.
Mm.
Because he could see, and he literally tells them, he was like, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Mm. God brought me here ahead of you to preserve you. It happened through what you thought was just evil, but because I stayed in this place of submission to the will of God, he caused everything to work for my good.
Mm.
And I think that's a powerful place to be. And I think sometimes why we are... there's certain things that is hard for us to heal from and hard for us to grow out from because we're not yet in the place called alignment.
Mm.
Alignment shows you how all things work together. It's not just how all things work together for everyone's good. It's like, no, for the good of those who are called of God.
Mm.
And so the place called alignment is where you see the bigger picture and you're like, I can forgive you.
Mm.
Yes, what you did was evil. It's not that that was the perfect will of God. No. But I could see how it led me here today.
Mm.
I can see how God still used it in spite of
what
I went through. And I could go past your brokenness and forgive you because I see God's hand in it.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, there is so much to be said about like alignment, posture, the way that you wait on God, and the way that you even learn about what's happening in your surroundings, like when you're in the midst of really tough, depressing moments. And I love that y'all read Genesis. We all got homework now.
Listen, just read the whole book.
Read the whole book, but at least Genesis is at the start, y'all. Come on. Start there. But I love that. That's such a great word. You really preaching already. Okay, so let's go back to the teenage years really quickly because I read in your book that you said that you would be in the street and God would be like, pray for that person.
I sure did.
Talk to that person.
Yeah.
Go see that person. I guess you were pretty familiar. You said at 9, 10, you started to feel God's presence intensely. Angels, you felt them, you saw them. So when did you start stepping into the fact that you were called to be this deliverer and this person that's able to show up on the other side, on this side of the earth as a representative of God? Like, how did that, because some people feel uncomfortable, like, she will think I'm wild. Like, why do I need to go to talk to her? But you went. Like, what was that experience like for you?
It was so interesting because I think tasting both sides of life, like experiencing God as a child, in my teenage years feeling like, this, you tripping. I don't think you just talk this much. I want to go, I want to have fun, you know? And I was just wilding out. I had boundaries that I still respected, but I was, I was having the time.
Yep.
Child. All the time.
Yep, I know about it.
And I think what was interesting, so that moment you were talking about, I was in the club and literally I'm like testing things out. I'm like, you know, I'm going to do dark liquor and light liquor. Terrible combination.
Girl.
You would not remember how you got home.
Okay. Ciao. Wouldn't be the Holy Spirit that night,
it
child.
It would not be the Holy Spirit. I almost entered the wrong person's car. Okay. We came out. I said, whoo, time to go. Open. A moving car. A moving.
Help us, Lord. Help us.
My brother said, Stephanie, no! That's not the car. Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm going to call him out because we were out there together. But
yeah, brother.
But no, we were in the club and literally, like, I'm just, you know, having a time. And I see this girl. And the moment I set eyes on her, the Lord starts speaking to me.
Lord.
In the club.
Come on, man.
The moment he started, I said, God, not here.
Not.
This is not the place or the time. Hurt. There are many things else, you know, many other things happening. Focus on that.
Right.
This is not it. And he just didn't even respond to me. Just kept going. And the Holy Spirit so clearly started talking to me about this girl and said, you know, the reason why she's here, there's something going on with her dad. And, you know, the dad, like, in the hospital and all these things, and tell her dad will be fine.
Oh,
he'll
God.
Be healed.
Oh, my God.
That I'm with her dad. And just, and I'm like, God, I am. This does not, I'm not dressed appropriate.
Right. I'm outside.
I'm holding, now, communion?
Hello? This ain't wine, Lord.
Listen, we're not communing to this. Like, I'm like, this is not it. And it was, but there are times where God gives me a word. Mm-hmm. And even then, even in my rebellion, mm-hmm. it literally feels like you're on fire until you say it.
Wow.
And so I was just like, this is about to be a buzzkill.
Yeah. Right.
I need to, you know, let me.
Here I go. Let me
go.
Give me some Red Bull.
I can enjoy the rest of my time here.
And so right, let me just get this out the way.
Listen. So I go to this lady and I share it with her and she breaks down and cries. And she's just like, you know, and the funny thing is that she's a believer. So it was not even like a how did you know, but she was just like, she broke down crying. She was like, thank you so much. She left.
Wow.
And it was just like, and I'm like, well, I'm going to stay.
Right.
I haven't finished my drink.
The Lord got me here.
Listen. But then when I got home, sobered up, and I remember just feeling guilty.
Mm.
And I was like, God, you love me so much and I am not representing you well. Mm. Later on, I realized what I was doing at that age. I didn't notice it then, but I realized that I was trying to put myself in situations that I would disappoint God to the point that he would show me another side.
Mm.
He would show me that I'm no good.
Mm.
It's like I was looking. I'm like, you can't be this good.
Yeah.
You can't just be so awesome. There must be a side of you that would just reject me. Mm. And I didn't realize there was a part of me, even though he had worked on my ability to forgive, to love, there was still this part of me that was still healing. Mm. The part of, you know, not growing up with your father, there's a lot of like, rejection and things that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And so even though I had the love of God, the Father, I was waiting for him to show up like humans in some way.
Mm.
And I didn't notice. And that moment silenced all of that. Because I'm like, even in the club, you would talk to me.
Even in the club.
That was wild to me.
Yeah.
I was like, you were so persistent about whoever I am to you that you would find me anywhere. Mm. And it was in that moment I said, you know what? I don't know what this ride looks like, but I surrender. It was literally in that moment I said, I'm done.
Wow.
Whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. Mm. Like, whatever this journey looks like, I'm all in. You know, and that's when things really, it shifted where I didn't feel like I was living this double life mm-hmm. anymore. And I'm like, I want to really know what you want me to do, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah.
From
what do
me?
You want from me? Wow. Cause I was just like, you can't be this persistent.
Yeah. I'm in the club.
That moment was,
what are we doing?
It changed everything.
That's amazing. I love that. The Lord called you about the club. Listen, it was like,
he's
here.
Right here. Talk to this lady. Go preach the gospel. I'm like, not like this.
Right. Not right now. But that's the thing about God. He ain't waiting on your time.
No.
He's going to do what he does in his perfect timing.
Yep.
And I think that's such a beautiful representation of also how to surrender, how to like trust. And before we get into how you got into ministry, I know there's probably so many women, people watching that are having trouble moving from anger to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
With all that you learned, especially from that era in your life, what would you say is the biggest lesson or message you would give them about moving from anger into forgiveness and how to do it?
Yeah.
How to start?
Yeah. And I'll share what God taught me. You know, there were two key things. The first thing was there was this message he shared with me, and it was that no one hurts you from a place of love. And no one hurts you from a place of wholeness.
Mm.
Whenever someone hurts you, it's actually a reflection of their brokenness.
Mm.
And when he showed me this, it was not just words he gave me. I could see it. I could see that it was almost like this experience where I'm seeing all of humanity were created. Like when the Bible says we were created in the image of God, there is a version of the highest version of a person, right, is when they rise up to the image of God, the image of who God called them to be, when they start to represent his likeness and his ways and his principles. That is who we were created to be. When a person functions below that, it's not just about you. The second part is knowing who the real enemy is. And what I mean by that was when the Lord showed me how brokenness opens the door for Satan, literally, and just call him by name, child, Satan, to get in and influence that person's behaviors and their ways. And so, for example, in the Bible, you would always see, there are always moments where, you know, and I'll use like Peter in the Bible, for example, when Peter betrayed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, Satan comes to Jesus and Satan is like, hey, you know, I'm after Peter, you know, just puts it out there. And Jesus is, you know, Jesus prays, prays for Peter. Jesus goes to Peter. He's like, look, Satan is after you.
Mm.
Peter is like, no, never. What? I can never betray you. And Jesus is like, it's cool. I've prayed for you. It's cool. You're going to be fine. You're going to fall. You're going to be fine. But how does Satan do it? Mm. That's the key thing.
Mm.
There was never a moment where Satan came to Peter and was like, Peter, you know, I have a deal for you. Mm-hmm. No, there were three people positioned in very strategic places who randomly were next to Peter to say, hey, aren't you the dude that was with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter's like, nah, that's not me. You know, aren't you the dude that was with Jesus? Aren't you the dude that was with Jesus? So three times he didn't even realize when it happened. Mm-hmm. He betrays Christ, right? Or he denies Christ rather.
Yep.
But how did Satan do it? With people.
Mm.
The same thing in the Garden of Eden. Many people, you don't even have to read the Bible to know about the serpent. But people always think that Satan was talking to Eve.
Yeah.
No, it was a snake talking to Eve.
Mm.
But what he does is he looks for people that are most compatible with his agenda against your life.
Wow.
So when he needed access to talk to Adam and Eve, he looked for the animal that was most compatible. So the Bible says the serpent was the most cunning of all animals that the Lord God had made. So he gets to the serpent, now tells the serpent what to tell Eve.
Mm.
So there are times that we experience things in life because of how bright you are, because of the force that you are, or you, that God has called you to be in this world. The enemy is looking for who is most compatible in your surrounding, in your circle, in your space, within your friend group that I could use against you.
Wow.
especially when we're kids, mm-hmm. or even when we're grown up, there are betrayals we experience. And what is he after? He wants you to feel unworthy. Mm-hmm. He wants you to stay in a cycle of shame, because in that place, you can't receive anything. You're mm-hmm. stuck. Unforgiveness literally is like sinking sand. You can't, like, no matter what you try to fight it, you are stuck there.
Right.
And so he's after your ability. He wants to cripple you, but he's looking, okay, who in your circle has the most damage? Who could I use to speak bad about you? Who could I use to introduce you to this no good for nothing person? You know, who could I use? So there are things that he's literally trying to orchestrate. The problem is, we make it about people because we don't see the grand vision of God concerning our lives. Mm. When you don't see yourself according to who God called you to be, you limit your problems to people, not realizing there is something beyond people that is against you because it knows you. Mm. The enemy knows you. He knows the chaos you could cause if you ever wake up to realize who God called you to be. And so if he can keep you in the dark about your life and he can keep you in a small place that you think your problems are just, you know, you start calling them by name. Mm. Yeah, I can't stand her. Da-da-da. No. She may have issues.
Sure.
All right. She may have her issues. And for every action, there are consequences. Mm-hmm. We know that. But beyond that, what the enemy is looking for, who is most compatible to his agenda against your life? And until we see ourselves properly, we can't see the real enemy properly. Because if I don't think of myself the way God thinks of me, then I'm not thinking that the enemy, what does Satan have to do with my life? Like, child, I'm just trying to pay rent.
Right, right. You're like, I don't know. What?
I'm not doing nothing.
But see it for what it is. All right, now that y'all heard it, that was good advice, all right? Because I'm going to watch that back. I'm going to be like, okay, part one and part two. Because you kind of gave two sermonettes right there. Okay, let's get into your call.
Yeah.
When did you get called to ministry? And how did you end up here in L.A.? Mm. I know that's a long story.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we only got like 15 minutes left. But maybe give us the SparkNotes version of that ministry call and you owning that.
Yeah.
And getting here.
I'm breaking this interview up into two parts, so stay tuned for part two where she gets into her story of how she got called to ministry and more. But be sure to purchase The Power of Your Dreams, a guide to hearing and understanding how God speaks while you sleep, available everywhere books are sold. And be sure to follow Healed Girl Era Podcast and Stephanie on all her platforms to support all she's up to. Be sure you're subscribed to be the first to hear part two of this amazing conversation. And thank you so much for tuning in.